Hey everyone, welcome back to the Percy Jackson of Poseidon podcast. This is part 3 of my review for Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Last Olympian, the 5th book and final book of the series. So in this one, I'm just going to kind of wrap up my thoughts as the book as a whole. And so, you know, like the other books, I went into this not really remembering what happens. You know, I knew there was a battle in New York, and that's all I remembered. So I was really surprised when we picked up with Rachel, Elizabeth Dare, and with Nico. So I really like seeing them return. And I do like the opening fight on the Princess Andromeda, but I do wish we had gotten to know Beckendorf a bit more, because it would have made his death that more impactful. You know, and similarly with Selena Beauregard, we never really knew her either. And so why, you know, we were supposed to feel sorry for her, you know, for losing Beckendorf, but we didn't really know them as characters together or date or that they were dating. And so it doesn't really mean a whole lot when Beckendorf dies and when Selena dies. You know, if we had seen them as a couple before their death or something in the last book, you know, it would have been more emotional. So, you know, and then the twist of making Selena the spy for Luke, you know, that's kind of interesting because we wouldn't have suspect her of being the spy. But again, because we didn't really know her as a character, it really is just feels more like an afterthought, like we're tying up loose end plot lines. And so, but you know, I do like seeing Clarice's friendship with Selena. It gives a more emotional and softer side of Clarice instead of just her being the sort of cliche mean girl all the time because she's the daughter of Ares. She, you know, her relationship with Chris Rodriguez and with Selena, we get to see a more caring side of Clarice and really kind of fleshes out her character depth a lot more. So I do like that. And it's also nice to have Clarice be the one to defeat the Draken. You know, so we get a good heroic moment for Clarice. I think that's well deserved. I think my biggest criticism of the series is the lack of character development for all of these side characters, like Clarice and Selena and Beckendorf and Ethan. You know, instead, you know, we did get a whole book about Zoe, Thalia, and Bianca, but, you know, two of them died, and Thalia, you know, went off and is barely in this book. You know, so we had them as, you know, sort of well-developed characters, but they only lasted one book. And whereas the side characters have kind of popped up throughout the books, but we don't really get to know them very well. You know, but I do like the stuff that we get with Nico, and we finally learn what happened with his family, with his mom, and why he was in the Lotus Hotel. And, you know, it's also nice to have Hades come in at the end and help fight, and have the House of Hades be accepted on Mount Olympus and at Camp Half-Blood. So I do like what we do with Nico and Hades in this book as well. We get to know more about their motivations, and so that's all. I really like that. And then another interesting bit of information is that we learn about Luke's past. And like I said in the other reviews, I wish we had gotten more information earlier in the series, but we finally get it here, which is nice. We meet his mom, and you know, we speak to his father Hermes, and we know, you know, apparently Hermes knew Luke's fate all along, but couldn't really intervene or do anything about it. I think, and you know, which is why he sort of blamed Annabeth or something. But you know, it's nice to get the backstory of Luke, and I think we should have done it earlier. You know, for me, it's just a little too late to care about Luke at this point in the story. You know, as a person, you know, he was troubled, but you know, could he be redeemed? You know, especially after the 4th book, you know, the Battle of the Labyrinth coming in, and I felt like he was a real villain in that book. You know, especially taking on Kronos and everything, it did a good job making him the villain. So having him sort of be redeemed and learning, you know, to be more empathetic with him in this book, I feel is just a little too late, you know, because I don't care. I don't care that he gets redeemed in the end, you know, and in the end he does do the right thing and defeats Kronos. But I think, again, the series just took too long to give him a redemption arc that we care about. And then, of course, he dies in the process anyway, so you know, Kronos as the overall villain of, you know, the series is fairly weak in my opinion. You know, he doesn't really do much. He's, you know, he's disembodied for most of the series. You know, and mostly he has his armies and his generals doing all the fighting, and then Luke also, you know, and so that's probably the biggest weakness of the series is Kronos and Luke as the overall villains. They're just not developed enough, and they don't really do enough sort of antagonistic work against Percy and his friends. Like, I feel like they're more treated as just a nuisance, like they need to like shoo away, rather than an actual Percy versus Kronos type of fight. And so that's kind of where I would say that's their weakness as a villain. They're just not that interesting, and why do we care Percy's fighting them? Because, I mean, Percy could just be anybody that gets in their way. So that's kind of why I feel like this book ending doesn't really work that well, because they're not set up as a great villain. One thing I did like was the return of Rachel Elizabeth Dare and the character arc that she goes through. I like seeing her, you know, kind of dating Percy at the beginning of the book, and then at the end having her become the new spirit of Delphi. It makes sense, given that we knew that she could see through the mist. And in this book, she also, you know, paints the prophetic images and everything. And so it kind of makes sense with her character to take her in that direction. And I like that, you know, even though she did like Percy, she knew that her place was to be the new Oracle, and that Percy belonged with Annabeth. So I like Rachel in this book, and I always like the character coming back reading the books. And so, yeah, I do like what we get with Rachel here. As the final book in the series, I'm not sure that it works well enough to wrap up the series as a whole, nor does it stand alone very well. Like, I feel like, you know, the first book, it stands alone as just a good, solid story. The second book kind of even so, and even the third book. I feel like the last book definitely is more influenced upon what came before and what's going to happen in this book. But this book, it doesn't really do that great job tying in. We do get some reveals of information that I think maybe we should have gotten before. And we do pay off some things that sort of feel more like check marks. Like we have to check off this happens. So I don't think it really does a good job cohesively tying up the series as a whole and ending the series. You know, a lot of things happen in the previous books that don't play into this book. Like, what was the purpose of Bessie the Ophiotaurus? Where did that creature go? Why didn't Talia play a bigger role in this book? I mean, she was great in, you know, The Titan's Curse. Why not? She was made a big deal of, and then she disappears. Why introduce Pandora's box if we're only going to just give it to Hestia? You know, and then I don't like the Olympic gods either in this, you know, ignoring Percy about the rise of Kronos and not, you know, going to, you know, the falling for Kronos is, you know, deception and everything. I don't know, it just feels a little messy here. It feels like Percy is the titular character, so he has to be the one that does everything. And I don't know, that just feels kind of messy in my opinion. The first third of this book I think is good. All the stuff we learn about Nico and everything, I think all of that works really well. But the middle section with the Battle of New York I think is just too messy. It's a bit slow. It's kind of boring. Again, I don't know New York geography, so it doesn't really mean anything to me when they're fighting on the Williamsburg Bridge or, you know, where they're at the Empire State Building and the Hudson River and all that. So that kind of gets lost a little bit as well. And again, it's just them fighting, you know, random army of monsters. We're not actually fighting Kronos or Luke and everything. And so it just kind of doesn't, it just feels too impersonal, I think. And I think we needed more Percy versus Kronos in this book. Even if, you know, in the past books we've seen Percy, you know, outwit his opponents and just sort of fall into sheer dumb luck sometimes, but we don't even really get that here in this either. So I kind of feel like, you know, even though I love Percy, I feel like he's, and it's like Rachel said, he's not the hero of the prophecy, and I feel like that's maybe a mistake, not having him really feel like the hero that saves Olympus. It's really more of a group effort, and you know, that's fine because I love Annabeth, but again, we don't really know a lot of these side characters at the camp. And they were even introduced to a couple new characters in this book, and so it just all kind of gets muddled together. We don't have enough time to really cover all the characters, and we're just going to stretch out this Battle of New York for days fighting against these monsters. So that, to me, just doesn't really work that well. There's no super sense of urgency, I think, that's needed. You know, but I do like the resolution of having Luke be the one that has to defeat Kronos. It's a nice twist because we were expecting Percy to, but because he's not the hero, Luke doesn't. Again, it would mean more if we knew, if I really cared about Luke as a person, if I wanted to see him redeemed. I don't care about him. I don't care that he was turned evil and that his body dies up. I feel sad for Annabeth, but other than that, again, they were not very good villains, and I think it was just too little too late trying to add in the emotional stuff about his mom and his past in this book. And so you know, and then you know, he's defeated by the blade that he gave Annabeth. So that is kind of cool because it does come kind of full circle. That's the cursed blade, you know, in this, which, I mean, maybe that should have been the title of the book, The Cursed Blade, instead of The Last Olympian, which again means nothing because it's Hestia and she doesn't really do anything here. So there's just kind of a lot of weird things like that that are sort of brought up and don't have anything to do with anything. You know, but, you know, I do like that Percy, you know, makes a selfless wish from the gods. Like, he doesn't, you know, want to be a god himself. He just wants the half-bloods to be claimed and the gods, you know, and more gods to be included. And he just wants recognition for all of them. Like, it's a very selfless act, which I think is why we like Percy as a hero. And which is why I think that ending works really well, giving Percy something like that to do. But again, where was that throughout the rest of this book? So overall, this book does some cool things that I really like. We get some good reveals. However, it just didn't do enough to capture my full attention and imagination. A lot of things were paid off too quickly. We're just not invested emotionally with a lot of the characters and their deaths. And so I think this book is just crammed too much with minor stuff that doesn't actually, is not important to the plot, and doesn't focus enough on Percy versus Kronos / Luke. So I think that's kind of where the weaknesses are. And so those are my thoughts about the book, The Last Olympian as a whole. Stay tuned for the next episode where I review the series as a whole, and I'll give my ranking of all 5 books and what I think of them. So thank you all for listening to the Percy Jackson Son of Poseidon podcast. Stay tuned. Until next time, bye.